Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went, and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, praise the Lord, and good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Tony with the Lighthouse Team Ministry, and I greet you this morning in Jesus' name. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we open your word, I ask the Holy Spirit to come forward to be with us, to speak, so that the words that are spoken this morning, Father, are yours and not mine. Just those words that the Spirit will give me to say. Now, Father, be with us through this study this morning and bless us, Father, each and every one this day. Now, Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to be dealing here with the book of Galatians. We're just getting into it. We finished yesterday with the second Corinthians. So now here, in the first chapter of Galatians, I want you to notice something here about Paul's greeting. For him to make his greeting to this church, writing them this letter, he took 5 verses. Of course, at the time as he was writing it, he wasn't writing in verses. But it's quite lengthy. Beginning here with verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, God the Father, who raised him from the dead. He's letting them all know that he didn't learn this from mankind. In fact, he doesn't that himself as we go on. Verse 2, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. 4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Some way to start a letter, right? It's actually a small, more or less small sermonette there in his greetings. But now he's going to get stronger with them because they also have had others come in to tear down Paul's work. Paul letting them know that he knows about it and all. Here in verse 6, Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into grace of Christ unto another gospel. Those that were had been following Paul, trying to tear down his work. He's been causing some problems here in this church. Now, 7. He goes on and he says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And we have that going on today in a lot of our churches, perverting the gospel, teaching things from the word, but in a way that is contrary to the word, which is causing deception, deceiving those that will listen, and a bad batch. Now, 8, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. See how strongly the word is speaking against teaching things that are against the word of God? 9. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. He's letting them know very strongly there, you don't go by any other gospel. Now, here in 10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You listen to what he's saying, really? Now, 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. And he goes on to tell them why it's not after mankind. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, the Lord gave it to me through the Holy Spirit. He didn't say the Holy Spirit. But that's the way we all get it. Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit that gives us the knowledge and the wisdom to do what God has called on us to do. And Paul was called to be the apostle to the Gentile people. And he's going to tell you that himself here in just a moment. Now, 13. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. We all know about how he lived before he met the Lord Jesus Christ that day on the road to Damascus. He was on his way right then with papers from the high priest and all to arrest and bring back those that were following the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 14, and profited in the Jews' religion above my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. You see, the reason he was doing it, he thought he was doing, at the time that he was doing those things, he thought he was doing the work of God. Because of tradition. You see, that's why we don't teach tradition. We teach the word of Almighty God. Now, 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. In other words, he didn't go to the other apostles or nothing. He didn't go to mankind. 17. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But you see, he spent 3 years there in Damascus and all. He spent 15 days with Peter. 19. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. He had met him. 20. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards, I came into the region of Syria and sisters, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. They're giving God the glory for the salvation of Paul. We come to the end of chapter 1 now. We're going into chapter 2. Then, 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, I took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. He's being careful among the Jewish people, really. Because, you see, he wasn't called, really, to preach to them. He was called to be the apostle to the Gentile people.
Verse 3.
But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Was compelled to be circumcised. And he was a Greek. And that because of false brother, unaware, brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. You see, they're wanting to take them back in under the Mosaic law. That's what they want Paul and them to be teaching. Things that man is wanting. Not what God wants, but what man is wanting. A lot of that going on right today. Now, because our churches has gotten weak. Here in 5. To whom we gave place by subjection. No. Not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. He said, no, we're not giving place to them that's wanting this, wanting to bring them in, back in under that. No. 6. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. Paul says, you know, it's not bothering me what they're doing. God accepteth no man's person, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was to Peter. Now what he's saying there, he's not talking about two different religions. He's talking about two different people. He says, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, he's talking about him being sent to the Gentile people. because they had never been under the law and under that circumcision commitment. And he's saying that's where God sent him. And he went on to tell them, as the gospel of the circumcision, in other words, Peter was being sent to his own, to the Jewish people, the ones that had been living under the law and under the order to be circumcised at birth and on the eighth day. Now, verse 8, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen. That's what they considered all the Gentile people. They were all heathens. And most of them really were. They worshiped, either didn't worship no one, or they worshiped false gods. And he said, goes on there in that verse, ninth verse, and says, the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. He laying the note, yes, he remembered the poor. Now, there was a time that Paul and Peter didn't agree on some things. And Paul really rebuked Peter. Now here in verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. Now what in the world can he blame Peter for? For because that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. He had been there and eaten and all with the Gentiles, Peter had. But then when James and them came, he separated himself from the Gentiles. You see, it was his action, and it wasn't really that it was such great sin, but it was the action he was taking and the reason he was taking it. Now, 13. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Now, That's what he was asking. Peter, you can't have a double standard. Because the Word of God is not a double standard. When you go out here today and visit, or if you visit around churches, you find out, though, that there's a lot of double standards going on. Now, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, now listen to this, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You see, that's what the law couldn't do. Now, Hebrew tells us about that also. But the law couldn't bring about all of that because, you see, the law could not do away with sin. Through those sacrifices and all would cover the sins you had done that year. But it could not take any future sins away from you. That's what the law couldn't do. 17. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. He's letting us know that we cannot, once we come to that knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come and repent to him, our sins are forgiven, we cannot continually go out and build again the things which has been destroyed. Because if we do, as he tells us here, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He's got it out here plain for us. Telling us exactly what and how to get of being that child of God. Now, he told us he was crucified with Christ. He told us he lives, but yet not him. It was Christ that liveth in him. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. In the last verse of chapter 2, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If righteousness come by the law, then Christ died for nothing. That's what Paul was telling them. And we know he didn't die for nothing. Because for one, he was also resurrected and went to sit on the right hand of the Father, the right hand of the power of Almighty God. Now, chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of law or by the hearing of faith? How'd you receive it? Verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? He's asking him a question there in 3. Verse 4. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, does he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And we know that it comes, those miracles and healings and all comes by faith. Now, 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, 7. Know ye therefore that they which the same are the children of Abraham. 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Those that will preach the gospel. Could bless all nations. We know the revelation tells us that this word is to be preached throughout the whole world before the end. Now, verse 9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. How much plainer can it be? Verse 12. And the law is not of faith. And we all know that. The Mosaic law was not by faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. Now those that can and will keep the law in that day and time will make heaven their home. But most wasn't able to live by it. They didn't keep it. He goes on to 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. 14. That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And you see, that is when the Gentile people, all that were not Jews, was brought in to be the children of God, was through the life and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. 15. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man this annulleth or addeth thereto. You don't take away and you don't add to. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and two seeds as of many, but as of one. Because you see, that was the covenant that was made with Abraham. It wasn't seeds. It was, and to thy seed, which meant Christ. You see, God's plan has always been, and he's brought it true. 17, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. And we know it didn't. 430 years man lived or was supposed to live by the law. And we know the trouble they had doing that. And that's why Christ was brought. Now, 18. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore, then service the law. It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the law couldn't do it. 22. But the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. Now, 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. He said it was a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. Now we know that's really when faith came into being. 25. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Once the Lord Jesus Christ was born, we were not under the law anymore. We were to follow him, even while he was here on this earth. Now, we didn't have what he gave us after he went back to heaven. But we could believe in him and believe who he was and have that salvation. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Don't you listen to that. How are you to be baptized? He's telling you right there. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Well, we know it goes further than that even, because when we came through the book of Romans, the 6th chapter told us exactly what was going on when we were baptized, didn't it? But here it is again, letting us know. 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all one in Christ. We are all the children of Almighty God. And it don't matter who we are, whether we be Jew, Greek, or Gentile. Think about it. 29. And if ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and other heirs according to the promise. Yes, we are heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will get into that greater and with better understanding when we get back to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews to me is one of the greatest books of the New Testament. All right. We're going to stop here now. We've been through the first 3 chapters because they are all short chapters. But I hope you really got something this morning as we've come through, that you really have been blessed. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word this morning, we're thanking you for your word. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you that we have the time to be able to come together to share your word each and every morning and each evening. Father, make of each one of us what you want us to be. Live through us. Work through us, Father, in the gathering of the harvest. Father, we pray for Israel and Jerusalem. We pray for peace to them. But even so, Father, we pray that they will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, and that Israel will be known as a land for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this land of ours, Father, which we live, our government turned its back upon you, took Jesus out of every place he was in, didn't want the Ten Commandments displayed nowhere publicly. And Father, they turned against your church and against your children. My prayer is, Father, that the churches will all come together. Tear down the walls that is called division. And stand together in the Lord's church. And remove from office those that are against you and your word. And replace them with those that love you and your church and your people and the Lord Jesus Christ. And will work with us to put this nation back on the foundation it was founded on, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for the sick, the diseased. We know, Father, that they have been given healing power because your word tells us that we are healed by his stripes, the stripes that Jesus bore, gave us that healing. Father, for those that will hear this message, that are walking with sickness, we know that if they will accept it by faith, that they are healed right now at this moment. Accept it by faith, stand on it, and you will see it happen. Now, Father, be with us throughout this day. Keep us in health. Keep us all safe. And bring us back together this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Father, and back into your word as we go through this battle. Praise your holy name, Father. Praise you. All the glory is yours, Father. Use us, Father, in great and mighty ways. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. And God bless. Have a great day. And God willing, we can be together at 6. Bye-bye now.